Good morning.
Morning.
What an awesome thought in Psalm 130 that we have opportunity to be redeemed. But I have to ask the question, how would you feel if God kept a record of all your sins instead of forgiving them? Would you be excited to still come to worship service knowing that? How strong of an effect do the songs we sing, such as "I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb," and further on he says, "filled with the Holy Ghost I am," or "redeemed," the song "redeemed," "sweet is the song I'm singing today, I'm redeemed, troubles and sorrows have vanished away." Do we believe this when we sing these songs? Or even, "I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me." Jesus in heaven is still interceding for us.
Amen.
And it's before God. Now, as we worship Him, He is in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, and allowing us and claiming us as His own before His Father. This is why we're here. Because we have salvation by redemption. Now, the word redemption is a strong word, but our lesson text continues in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll finish chapter 1 today, beginning in verse 18. "Having that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls," going on, "having purified your souls," in verse 22, "by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly," or deeply, "from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this Word is the Word, the good news that was preached to you." What an amazing thought. We're redeemed, right? In verse 18, "knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways, the empty way," translated in some, "the empty way of life." Do you remember those days? Do Do you remember empty days when you got up and you had no direction from God or even no desire? You just got up, you went about your life, not even thinking the whole day. May we never go back to that. In 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, in the Lord's servant, speaking of us, those who are in Christ, must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. To a knowledge, and they may have to the, and come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. The little comment I made down here, at one time in our lives, we were captive to the devil doing Satan's will. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe, but we were doing the work of Satan. Redemption has a significance. In verse 19, it's by the precious blood of Jesus we've been redeemed. God redeemed us at a price so high, it's precious to us more than anything made, right? And he talks about, we weren't redeemed with silver and gold, which today, silver and gold have a high value in the eyes of the world. But Jesus' blood is even more precious than anything we'll ever attain here. In Exodus 12, verse 5, the idea of the lamb shall be without blemish, a male of 1 year. You may take it from a sheep or a goat. It symbolizes Christ, his gentleness. Remember how he approached people? He didn't quarrel with people. He had a gentleness like a dove, and he calls us to that gentleness. Or his innocence. Only one man was ever innocent. Only one man was ever innocent, the Son of God. His purity. I don't know about you, but when I think of absolute purity, there's only one man that comes to mind, the Son of God. Forgiveness. Where else can we find forgiveness? Where else can we find this forgiveness? It's not going to be in things. It's not going to be in each other, though we're to forgive. If I could take your sins away, I'd die for you, but I can't. Only Jesus and his meekness. Jesus said it like it was and like it is. But he's never out to make people do anything forcefully. The blood of the Lamb, again in the Old Covenant, was that sprinkled on the door frame, and the blood of Christ, the blood of the Lamb we call Jesus, atones for all man's sins because it was without blemish and it was spotless. Mm-hmm. As Robert mentioned, try to grasp this: without sin. Jesus was without sin. And if I'm going to serve any man, and we're going to encourage one another to serve any man who's ever lived on the earth, it would be Jesus, because he's the only one that can take away our sins, because he was without it. He never sinned. And he atoned for us, right? In verse 19, he redeemed us. He was the propitiation. Jesus was the Lamb that was slain from the beginning. In verse 20, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but what was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. In Romans 3:25, he says, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, the atonement. There, that word propitiation is a lot. It's a challenging word, but it's the atonement, the atoning sacrifice. God did this. This was from God to be received by faith. Do we believe this? To be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness. Because in His forbearance, divine forbearance, He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And sometimes when we read the Scriptures, we see revealed at the last times, and this doesn't refer to the last days, as many would say, that when Christ is going to return or He sets up a kingdom or anything like that. That began in 33 AD. That was the last times. Final once for all. In Acts 2, 16 and 17 is reference to that. And the fullness of the ages had come in the first century. It's from the death of Christ till the end, and that is in 1 Corinthians 10:11 if you're taking notes. And the last days are when God started speaking through Jesus. And that's in Hebrews chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians 10:11, he does, and that's a reference to there to from death, Christ's death till His end. He says, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. In verse 21, who through whom were believers of God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Made a quick statement. We're redeemed by trusting God. And when we focus on ourselves, we can lose the understanding of God's redemptive work when we're trying to do it on our own. If we're living the way we think we should live before God, rather than trusting God. There's things that we have no control over in everyday life. God's redemptive work is His grace. His unmerited favor that He bestows on us. Because remember, if God didn't forgive us or doesn't forgive us, why would we be here? Why would we even bother to worship a God who wouldn't forgive? God is very gracious. He extends His arm to every person here and outside. It just doesn't just stop here. God is wanting men to come to a knowledge of the truth. When we focus on our own good deeds, we can become self-righteous. And that happens when you think you've done just enough throughout the week. It's not about that. It really isn't. When we focus on the bad things we did, I don't know if anyone's done some evil this week. I can't read your minds. You can't read my mind. Hopefully we avoid all those hypocrisies that can creep in, resist the devil that he flees from us. But when we focus on things that we do fall short in, we have a tendency to feel defeated and hopeless. I mean, it's tough to recover. I mean, we can recover from a cut on our arms or a boo-boo physically. But when there's scars down in the soul, it can come in and trap us and we just get burden with life. I shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? But I'll share this after in Titus 3, 4 through 7. I'll read it after this. But I chose Ruth, Joseph, and Job as examples of those who would be redeemed in their lives when we read in the Bible as examples of people who trusted God. They trusted God. Ruth's a Moabite woman. She's considered an outsider by the Israelites. She loses her husband. She's in hardship. But she shows her faithfulness to God. She trusts God despite the challenges that went on. And Boaz redeems her. An Israelite redeems a Moabite woman. He marries her. She integrates into the Israelite lineage and becomes an ancestor of King David and Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That God uses people from ignoble purposes. They're just everyday people, but God chooses and allows people to fulfill His promise. Joseph, the story of Joseph, probably 30 years ago, a brother stepped up and shared about the life of Joseph, and we've read the story. But it's amazing how, when you think of people in the Bible of forgiving, Joseph forgave his brothers who betrayed him and sold him into slavery. And he rises to great power in Egypt. Even though he's in slavery, he rises. His influence saves both his family and others from famine. They could have died, but he tells them, keep a little bit, save it. Joseph trusts in God. And he'll bring good to people, even in the worst situation. Even in tough situations, we, as a church, can bring good to other people. His unjust suffering, right? Peter writes to the Christians here, and Peter, they're going through some unjust suffering. He redeems others by his choice to show compassion and grace instead of punishing them. And that's part of the plan of God. In Job's life, Job loses everything from Satan. He lost his property. His children died. His friends accuse him of sinning before God. But he has a pure heart and he's committed to God despite what people do around him. I can't save you. You can't save me. But we have to have a pure heart before God if we're going to do anything to benefit one another. Job prayed for redemption for his friends later on, and because he trusted God. It's all about trusting God. We're redeemed because we trust God. And for us, in Ephesians 1:7, in Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins or trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. I don't know about you, but there's nothing we can do. You can never be good enough before the cross. It's only in the cross. This is the whole story of the gospel. It's at the cross. I was waiting to pass this scripture on, but in Titus 3, 4 through 7, think about this. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, baptism, and the renewal of the Holy Spirit received at baptism, the gift, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We won't get ourselves to heaven on our own. This is God's redemptive work. He saves us at baptism when we receive the forgiveness of our sins, and He promises us the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the power to live as He commands. When we look at the Word and we do what God says, we have the hope of eternal life. And it's in verse 22, having been purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. It's an acceptance of the new birth. You don't have to choose to be saved. There's plenty of people that aren't saved in the light of God's Word. But we purify ourselves by accepting God's offer. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. God saves us, but we still have a responsibility. Notice that, save yourself. When you recognize your sin and what it's done to God, the Son of God, you want to change. That's how we save ourselves. We run to Jesus. We obey the truth in order to be purified. In Romans 6:17, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. There's only two paths. Slaves to sin, which we know what that route does. But we can have that slave to righteousness. If we're going to be slaves, let's be slaves to God. God is awesome. He always extends His loving hand down to us so we can follow Him and know His will. A new birth results in love, right? In verse 22. And up here I put brotherly love. The brotherly love is a phileo. It's the Greek's phileo. I love you, bro, when we see each other on the Lord's Day. Love you, James. Love you, Wes. Love you, Mo. That's the care for one another. Love you, Janice. I love you, Edith. But the command to love one another here goes deeper than that. It's the word agape. And I know many of us have studied this. This isn't new. What I preach is never new. It's been preached from the pulpit for hundreds of years. But how much do we... And I made a little mistake here. This love describes the very nature of God Himself. Why would it be any different in the church? This takes a sacrifice of being out of ourselves to always be reminded to give of ourselves to somebody else. That's Christianity. It's not what I can get. It's what I can give. What can I give? In verse 23 through 25, since you've been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. Men, right? And their traditions, they perish quickly and dramatically. There are many people today proclaiming and claiming to worship God in truth and spirit, and many different groups. Tradition that supersedes God's Word is worship in vain. How important are we to abide in God's Word? The Scripture never fades. We claim to be a church, and maybe so few, because we go by the Word of God. And that's a good thing. I think it's a safe net to do what the Word of God says. In Matthew 24:25, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The Word of God. It is the living Word, as in Hebrews 4:12 and 13. It's the living Word. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And again, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we give account. But again, the Word of God is a serious matter to follow. It's living and active. It doesn't stop. It isn't some dormant reading. This is what saves us in our everyday life. It endures forever, and we have to stand on that Word. And in James 2:12, there's reference, speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. We talk about we're not under the old covenant anymore, but we do have the responsibility to do what Jesus says in the new. In the first few verses in chapter 2, and we'll finish off here, he says, so put away all malice, all deceit and hypocrisy, and envy, all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Strong words, but first one, we've got to get the poison out. Get the poison out and craving the pure spiritual milk. It doesn't matter how long we've been reading the Bible, how long we've been Christians. The spiritual milk saves us. And never lose your taste for the Lord. Focus on His Word. Amen. Couple thoughts. Have you been ransomed from your empty ways? Have you been released from your sins? Only Jesus can ransom us from God's wrath. Jesus, again, the gospel is Jesus paid the price on the cross. Do you trust in God? Only Jesus can rescue us from the bondage of sin and Satan's temptations. Have you been washed by the new birth? Only by the blood of the Lamb. That's where salvation is found. Only in the blood of the Lamb. There's only one source to be saved. In Acts 4:12, the apostles say this salvation is found in no one else. Salvation is found in no one else. You can taste the Lord is good and simply accept His offer today. That can't be much clearer. As we stand and sing, let us think on these things.